Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
Hey, the Burke Show.
So weird. Feels like we've been gone for a week.
It's because we have been.
The last couple of days, I mean, we knew we were going to be out for Wednesday and Thursday of last week?
Thursday, Friday.
Because we told you guys we were going to this radio convention. But the last few days, I don't really quite understand how engineering works. I've never understood how our voices get into these mics and then into your cars or onto the World Wide Web.
No idea.
I really don't get it. All I know is
it's neat.
It is neat. It's a really neat technology. I don't know how it works.
Yep.
And I don't ask questions. What we focus on is 6 to 10, trying to entertain you guys. Engineers take care of everything else, right? So I'm not exactly sure what was going on at the station, but there was a major overhaul of something that made it impossible for us to come into the station and do the show together, and impossible for us to do it from home as well. So we've been off the last couple of days, but not anywhere sexy. Unless Tommy's house is sexy.
Yes, it is. We still were doing work. We were doing brainstorming, trying to come up with fun ideas for you guys.
Yeah, and before that, it was the radio convention that Kristen just totally and completely stressed herself out about over absolutely nothing at all.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You were excellent.
Thank you. I feel good about it. I really do. So I was on a panel. So Burke got to moderate a panel, which is a really big deal. And I got to sit on a panel with other fellow radio comrades. And I was just beyond stupid nervous. Like my head was consumed with it. I have been thinking about this thing for months, ever since Dennis Clark asked me to be on this panel, who is a big deal in the radio world. And I'm like, well, if Dennis asked me, I have to say yes. And then Bert, you're like, you have to do it for the show. It's going to look good for the show. And I'm like, okay. And no, I got up there and I feel overall, I got my message across. I got the story told that I wanted to tell, and I got to give some people some flowers while I was up there and hopefully make people realize that they're good enough and they're doing enough.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking because you're sitting up on a panel. There's like 5 chairs up there and you're in one of them. And then there's somebody moderating, just kind of like playing point guard and sort of controlling the whole thing and asking questions. And then you're sitting in front of hundreds of people in your own industry. So it can be pretty nerve-wracking, but you crushed, dude.
Well, I really, really appreciate that. It's one thing to sit here on the mic and with you guys in the room and talking to our Burt Show fam, and it's another to be sitting on a stage staring down at all of your peers in the industry.
Yes, man.
Like, there's Bob Rivers, who was just inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. Like, you're just scanning the crowd, and it's like, why am I up here?
It was a really fun couple of days with each other, though.
It was.
I mean, we really did have an absolute blast. And Abby, I gotta tell you, for somebody that weighs like 78 pounds, you can put it away, girl. Seriously.
I got a good alcohol education at UF, I will say that.
Seriously, man.
How was that first class, baby?
What, first class?
What, you forgot already?
What? On the flight?
You know how we flew down first
class? I'm sorry. My brain is still in Dallas. How was that first class?
I thought you were talking about at UF. And yeah. I was like,
my mind was still at Florida. I was like, I haven't taken a class in 6 years, Kristen. Dude, first class, I see why they charge you so much money. Right. It's pretty nice. Although it does kind of feel like Stockholm Syndrome. Like, you're just so grateful that, like, they're bringing around a little basket of snacks. You're like, oh, thank you so much. I know I paid $700 to be here. But I'm just happy to be here with some food. It was amazing.
I wanted to do something special for us. So we all flew down there first class, and it was Abby's very first time doing it. And I thought you held yourself pretty well. I mean, once I start peeing, I can't stop peeing. So I had a drink at the airport, and then as I was passing them into the bathroom, you could see Abby getting more and more buzzed until finally I said hi. And have you ever been like so buzzed that you need to confess to somebody that you're buzzed before they even ask you about it? She was at that point. I'm schwasted.
That's how I felt. I was like in the middle of a book talk with Cassie, and I was just like, I just have to admit, I am tipsy.
But we heard the whole thing. You could hear you guys in the back of the morning.
Oh my God, that is the truth, man. It's like you were sitting next to all of us.
We're like, I texted them. I'm like, we can literally hear every single part of your conversation.
We could hear y'all. I think it's the placement of the seats because we were in the position y'all were in on the way back, and I could hear you guys you talk.
It was the placement of the drinks in y'all's hands.
Mo, what'd you think about it?
The
convention.
It was excellent. Yeah. I think you learned so much from being able to watch so many different people in radio over the years, like share their experiences and give their what they believe radio needs to improve and to get better. I think like it's like almost a cheat code to be able to be so young in radio and then have the opportunity to listen to everybody who's been there for so long. So with it being my second time, I think I learned more the second time than the first time because I kind of knew what to expect and how to take notes and who to talk to. It was great. I had a great time.
They're super fun. I had a good time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, now it's almost a duty to go and try to give back to those that are just getting into the industry like they did to me way back in the day. But I still had a great time at it, especially when you're only in for 2 days.
Yeah.
They used to be like four. You can only talk about radio for so long.
Yeah.
And for me now, like my saturation point about talking about this industry is about 45 minutes.
It's about how long you talked on the panel.
That's about it.
Hey, the Bird Show.
All right, so let's pick up where we left off before we took off, and it is almost going to be impossible to try to figure out exactly everything that was on the schedule before we left. But today is Follow-Up Thursday, and on Follow-Up Thursdays, you guys email us, and you say, hey, Bird Show, you might have forgotten about blank. Can you help me out? And Emily hit us up and said, look, on May 2nd this year, she actually remembered the day, you did a segment with a woman named Lisa, who is part of a mommy group. One of the women in the group regularly behaves suspiciously by doing things like taking photos of the kids without permission, pics that didn't even include her own child, and not letting any of the kids come to her house to play. And it was just a real kind of mess. And she wanted an update. I don't even remember the details on this.
Yeah, so she was correct. May 2nd was when we first did this. Gina was new to the mommy group with Lisa. She helped out like the other moms with supervising their children. However, Lisa was suspicious of Gina because she would take pictures of everyone's kids without sharing them with the group. Lisa got a strange vibe and reached out to us for help. She wanted to do a background check to see if Gina was clean. So this is one of those background checks.
Mm-hmm.
We found out that Gina was just a single mom with no criminal record. I recommended Lisa sit down to get to know her better first before jumping to conclusions. Lisa was still connected and didn't know how she wasn't going to confront Gina. Don't know what that means. Did she make amends?
Hey, Bird Show. So after finding out the results of the background check on your show, I started to feel really bad. I thought a lot about it and realized that my actions were really unfair to Gina. Judging someone based on a few unconventional behaviors without really bothering to get to know them isn't right, and I definitely should have been a bit more mature in my thinking. We've all been in situations where we felt out of place or misunderstood, so I shouldn't have been so quick to assume the worst about her. So I decided to actively spend some more one-on-one time with Gina outside our group settings. I really got to know her better. Turns out, she's genuinely a lovely person with a big heart.
How about that? Got to know somebody and got to really know them.
She's faced quite a bit in her life, which perhaps has made her value the friendships and connections her son makes. Much of what she has told me has made me really feel bad for her, but I also feel very impressed by how she has handled it and come out on top. Unfortunately, the others in our group still have reservations. I hope with time they can see Gina, the Gina I've gotten to know. Regardless of what everyone else decides, I'm genuinely looking forward to building a deeper friendship with Gina. Thanks for checking in, Lisa.
So all good here.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of like giving people the benefit of the doubt, which I think is like one of the last resorts instead of the first resort these days.
Yeah, why do we do that? I guess it's human nature to default to the negative somehow, the drama somehow, rather than give somebody the benefit of the doubt.
Well, you see those news stories where it's like, you know, it's the perfect marriage. We were just talking about that Hulu documentary about the Cobb County teacher who, you know, was teacher of the year and had the perfect marriage, and turns out he was like sleeping with the students. So it's hard to see stuff like that all the time. And then when you kind of get like a gut feeling about someone for your head to not go to worst case scenario, I'm just happy that, you know, she made a new friend and hopefully the others can come around to Gina.
Yeah, normally I don't feel like it works out like this because people tend to love to look at the negative in things all of the time for some reason. I guess it's more entertaining to look at the negative in something than to actually give somebody grace or the benefit of the doubt. But when you do, a lot of the times you realize that you're wrong if you don't.
Right.
Looking at the negative, I think, is a survival technique we inherited way back in the day. Because if everything's normal and then something's not normal, that sends danger signals to your brain. Like, something's off here, something's not right. So when somebody acts in a non-typical way, you're like, something's off here, it's not right. And then involves your kids and them taking pictures. Mm. I totally understand why people, I think we have to retrain ourselves to give the benefit of the doubt. But I get it. I think it's just hardwired into us in a survival instinct.
So this will go hand in hand here because based, you know, on what Cassie just said and also what I highlighted in this email. So I shouldn't have been so quick to assume the worst about her. There is another story going viral this morning of a passenger on a plane thinking the worst of somebody sitting right next to her, right? And He is sitting next to a woman that oversees what he is texting to his wife and another woman, and she decides that she's going to say something to him about it, right? Here he is sharing this on TikTok.
All right, you guys, this video is for my wife. Figured I'd tell her on here so that everybody knows, so I don't have anything to hide. When I boarded my plane today, a lady sat next to me. I sent you a text that said, I'm on the plane, I love you. And then I went right from texting you to texting another girl that said, hey, I'm on my plane, I love you. To which the lady next to me said that I should be ashamed of myself for telling my wife that I boarded the plane and I love her. And then I pulled up another girl in my phone and said basically the same thing. So I just wanted to tell you before she does.
So this woman is watching him text and is already assuming, okay, I saw him say I love you to one woman and then to another woman as well, and says you should be ashamed of yourself, okay? So this is his follow-up TikTok right after that.
So if you could go down to the end of the hall and tell our daughter that I will no longer be texting her from the plane that I love her because I can only love one girl at a time, that would be great. And to the lady sitting next to me on the plane, you should probably learn to mind your own business.
Mind your business.
Same thing, right? We always think of the worst.
See, Kristen, you asked me why I got a privacy screen on my phone so I can love my entire family.
There you go. That makes sense.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bert Show's Entertainment Buzz.
This is a story I'm not really excited to bring to the table. The Tui family featured in the movie The Blind Side is responding to Michael Orr's claims that they made millions off his name and his story. When I saw the headlines for this, I was like, the whole story was a lie. I loved that movie growing up. So if you haven't seen The Blind Side, it's a film about a wealthy family called the Tuies, and they take in this really good high school football player named Michael Orr.
He's from the inner city.
He's from the inner city, overcoming, you know, difficult challenges, like his mother was suffering from, substance abuse, and it just wasn't like a good situation. So the whole story is this, you know, beautiful tale of them, you know, taking him in, and he becomes, he goes to play for Ole Miss, and then he gets drafted by the Ravens, and they adopt him, and it's this really good feel-good movie. And so basically his headline is saying, yeah, that none of that's true. So now the family's coming out and saying, wait a second, that's not what we know about our story. So let me lay out the facts and then we can chat about how this is all playing out. So the Tuies are coming out and saying that they got half of the profits off of the book that the movie was based off of. And they said that everyone got it, got an even share, which was about $14,000. They're saying that any money from the movie was also split evenly, which was reportedly about $100,000. But the legal filing from Michael Orr's team says that the Tuohys and their two birth children each got $225,000 plus 2.5% of the film's defined net proceeds. And he's saying, I got none of that. They are also talking. So the other messy part is the adoption story. He's basically saying they never even adopted me. They've made all this money off of this, like, you know, beautiful story of them taking me in, and I'm not even legally a part of the family. Well, the Tuohys are saying, well, we couldn't legally adopt him at the time because he was 18. You can't adopt someone who's a legal adult. So they had to do a conservatorship, which sounds familiar because we've had that whole story about Britney Spears being under the conservatorship and it's her family making money off of her. And he's claiming he didn't know that until this year. Well, what is also coming out is that he had a book come out about 10 years ago where he actually has a quote where he literally lays out the fact that he knew about the conservatorship. So this is a direct quote from his book called I Beat the Odds. It says, there was one major event that happened right after I graduated high school. I became a legal member of the Tuohy family. It felt like kind of a formality as I'd been a part of the family for more than a year at that point. Since I was already over the age of 18 and considered an adult by the state of Tennessee, Sean and Leanne Tuohy would be named as my, quote, legal conservators. They explained to me that it means pretty much the exact same thing as adoptive parents, but that the laws were just written in a way that took my age into account. Honestly, I didn't care what it was called. I was just happy that no one could argue that we weren't legally what we already knew was real. We were a family.
And now he's saying that, and he and his team are saying that he's entitled to more money and he's hurt that they didn't actually adopt him and didn't understand it back in the day?
That's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, that he signed a bunch of things that he didn't really comprehend what they were. And also something that he signed basically gave away all his rights to his name and his likeness. When the headlines broke, because I was a fan of the movie as well, I was like, no.
I know. I loved that movie. It was such a feel good, right?
Yeah. I love the story of the movie, but even in him, like, I followed his career because of this story and rooted for him. So to find out that it played out this way was devastating.
I think this is really, really layered. You know, he signs a bunch of contracts when he's 18 years old. I don't even look at the fine print on contracts now as an adult. As 18, all I know is that this family is taking me in from a very dire situation. So he probably signed it. And then in trying to explain it to an 18-year-old, they were probably didn't want to get too ingrained in the actual definitions of things. So you're explaining it to an 18-year-old. I just don't want to believe that there was any malintent here.
Okay.
You do?
I don't know if there's malintent, but it's definitely a possibility. I'm not gonna write it off that they didn't. I've also seen stuff, too, because Sandra Bullock won an Oscar for that movie, and they want her to return her Academy Award. But I'm like...
That seems silly.
leave Sandra out of this.
That seems really silly.
Well, because
silly.
They feel so robbed that the movie was a lie, and it's supposed to be based on a true story. So reading this, because this... I mean, God, the movie came out back in the early 2000, mid 2000, like 2007 or something like that. It's been a minute. But he was digging into stuff and hired a lawyer, and the lawyer did the digging, and now this is all coming out. But the Tuohys, I hadn't seen the Tuohys statement, only what Michael Orr's team had released, so because they were still crafting their statement at the time. But they are saying, no, he did get the same amount of money as the family, because what I read was he literally got nothing, and the family split everything from the movie.
Yeah, they're claiming that everybody got everything evenly. He's saying that he had no idea about anything. I think some other important context to note is that they also just sold their company for $220 million, which is not even a part of the film at all. So it just kind of seems silly that, I don't know. We got to follow the money trail, and when that comes out, I think that'll bring a lot more clarity to stuff. Britney Spears and her husband are headed for divorce, and I'll tell you all about those alleged cheating rumors on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show. Maybe it'll happen to you in the future. There you are. Can't wait to celebrate your friend at their wedding and their reception. And there your ex is. Just then, and you feel like you see them with every, like, angle. You can't get rid of them. So, Abby is going to give you a game plan. So your anxiety doesn't ping and you don't panic when you see the ex.
Yes, my friend handled this situation beautifully because she ended up actually getting a text from him after the wedding saying, we need to talk. So her plan played out a little too well. But one of my really close friends was in her bestie's wedding. And, you know, you can't avoid the wedding when you're in it. It's an honor to be asked to be a bridesmaid. You already go to the bachelorette party. You already help with the planning. You already buy them the gifts. So you're locked in. Like, you got to go. You got to show up. You got to eat the chicken and dance to what's that song? Everybody Shout. You got to do all that. And she finds out about 6 months ago that her evil ex, her antichrist, her ex antichrist is going to be there. And she's like, is it too late for me to back out of this wedding? She does not want to see him. It was a bad breakup. I mean, just kind of like all the typical things where like it ended badly and he's unhappy and she's unhappy and there was no cheating. It was just kind of like a lot of like misbehaviors and miscommunications.
Was there a back and forth? Was it on again, off again as well?
On again, off again in the sense that like when we would go out and she would have like one too many drinks, she'd be like, I'm going to text him. Oh, and I'd be like, no, don't text him. He's not cute enough for you.
Stop picking at the scabs.
No, literally, that's how it feels. I'm like, leave this man alone. And it's one, just one of those relationships where like they won't break up even though they are not good together.
Mm-hmm. Weren't they talking about putting together some kind of mechanism that would be like, it would read your blood alcohol content on your phone yeah. So you couldn't text.
Honestly, I wish I could do that for some of my friends because I'm like, we have been doing this for 7 years. I have one friend that has been doing this with us. That's a different story. But anyway, back to the friend who sees the ex at the wedding. So she can't skip it. And she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I'm like two glasses of Sauvignon Blanc deep and I see this man across the dance floor, I don't trust myself. And I look at her and I'm like, I don't trust you either. So I made a note for 12 p.m. the next day after the wedding, I said, hey, be sure to text X, Y, and Z about how hooking up with her ex goes because I just wanted to, I knew I was going to have to check in about that. So she goes to the wedding and the next day I text her and I said, hey, how was it? And she goes, oh, you're going to be so proud of me. And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, the entire night I completely avoided him, did not talk to him once.
Nice.
So she said she showed up to the wedding. She's looking amazing. She's got that ugly bridesmaid's dress on. She's with her girls. She shows up. She's excited to have a good time. And she sees him and she's like, I'm not going to talk to him. And then she says that he actually comes up to her at the dance floor at one point. And she actually goes, gotta go. Can't talk to you. Literally avoids this man like a bad rash. And I was talking to her. I was like, wow, I'm like, this is a lot of growth for you, for him to be right in front of you and for you to be like, yeah, actually not interested whatsoever. And we thought we were free of him. And then the next day, she sends me a screenshot. It's a text from him. And all it says is, hey, we need to talk.
No, we don't.
We don't need to talk.
He don't like that he was rejected.
Yep.
He doesn't like it.
Makes her more valuable.
Exactly.
That's saying you need to talk and you want me to listen.
Hey. That's exactly what I said. So I said, like, homegirl, you got to dig your heels in. We got to stay strong. We can't give in to this. I know how this game works. It's never going to end well. So she's like, you know what, Abby? You're right. Not going to respond. The next day, I get another screenshot. It's a long paragraph text from him.
Ooh. This is driving him absolutely crazy.
To be ignored is the worst.
You know what? You can never say too little to a man to make him want you. It's amazing how this works.
That is a fact.
She is spitting facts.
Right.
This morning. Save it.
This is why I don't talk to them at all. So it says, hey, XYZ, I know this is weird for me to reach out to you, yes, but something has come up that I need to have a very serious conversation with you.
Does he have an STD?
That's what I was just thinking.
Sorry. They have not hooked up in over 2 years. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
All right.
It's just laying dormant.
No, stop.
It will. Pop up when it wants.
I promise my intentions are good and pure.
If you have to say that, they are not.
Or you have a history of them not being, and now you're pivoting.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
I still care about you after everything that has happened. My thoughts exactly, Kristen. And you and I have been through so much that I feel it's necessary to have this conversation with you. Please let me know if we can have a private conversation. It would mean everything to you. And then he literally goes, signed, name here, mm-hmm. as if he's like writing her a World War II letter. Yes.
does that? So this is exactly what the dating antichrist does. Uh-huh. I don't know if you've been with the show long enough for us to have used that since you've been here.
I've heard you guys use it, and I think I kind of know what it means.
Yeah, the dating antichrist. Okay. I mean, you know they're not good for you, but you keep getting back over and over and over again. Finally, they end up doing one thing where you're just like, that's it, no more, and you're really done with them. But then they start to manipulate and narcissistically work their way back in your life somehow.
Oh, and that's exactly what he did, because then she picked up the phone and she called him.
Damn it. She was doing so good.
She was doing so. But you know what? That was an ominous text. She needed to put things to bed and not him to bed. And they finally they get on the phone and they actually, you know what, were able to wrap up the breakup in a very nice and mature way, to where he apologized for a lot of the things and she got the closure that she finally
needed.
It's
a ploy. That's good, but I still wish she would have been petty about it and just ignored him.
I still don't trust this dude.
Yeah, she...
Ever.
Now, after that conversation, because of the ominous text, she can no longer have contact with him.
That's exactly how I feel. So I'm seeing her in like 2 weeks and I'm going to delete his contact from her phone.
Right. She should block him or delete it for sure, because he'll work his way back in, because now he's playing nice guy. Oh, I apologize. Maybe we give it another try. No. Never.
The Bird Show.
All right. So before we left, she had an interesting take. She decided that she was going to start to make herself a little bit less aesthetically appealing going out on dates. She felt like guys were really into her just for her looks. So the game plan was, let's go ahead and I'm just going to ugly myself. Did you guys say it was up or down?
Ugly it up. Or you pretty it down.
Really?
Ugly it up, pretty it down.
Ugly it up sounds right. Pretty it down for some reason doesn't.
Ugly down. I don't know.
You ugly it up because you're making it more ugly.
Okay. Ugly rises like heat.
And if you're going to downplay the pretty, like if you're going to go you're not upping the pretty, you're downing the pretty, you're not downing the ugly, you're upping the ugly. Okay. This is like the thermostat conversation we had.
It hurts my head. So a coworker was going to set her up, but she really kind of like wanted to ugly herself either up or down before she went on the date. So the update, who's got it?
I have the update. Well, I found middle ground. I decided to wear something casual, but still me. Jeans, a comfy tee, and my favorite sneakers. I wore minimal makeup, just a touch of mascara and lip balm. I didn't want to go all out, but I also didn't want to deliberately downplay myself to the point of feeling uncomfortable or inauthentic. I thought this way, I could still be genuine without compromising my own confidence. Now, how did the day go? Pretty great, actually.
Okay.
We met at a local cafe, had a great time. He was genuine, funny, and attentive. Not once did I feel like he was judging me based on my looks. Our conversation seemed to indicate to me that he isn't that kind of shallow person who would even think about that type of thing. We talked about everything from religion to politics to philosophical questions. We're planning on meeting up again soon. Whether this turns into something more serious or not, I've realized the importance of being true to myself while still respecting my own desires and comforts. I'm just trying to remember that the right person will see you, the real you, no matter what.
Huh. So what is the lesson here for other women?
Ugly yourself up more.
So what I'm reading, like this, the last line, the right person will see you, the real you. Like, and this is something that's so funny that we like had ingrained in our head at boot camp, our morning show boot camp. Like, be authentically yourself. Like, don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to make yourself something you're not. Be unabashedly, unapologetically you. And then that way the right person will come and fall in love with who you are meant to be in this world.
There really is nothing sexier than that. When you're out with somebody and they're super confident, mm-hmm. and they really are like, you really believe that what they are saying about themselves, there's nothing sexier. There's no amount of makeup. There's no anything that you put over your eyes or whatever. That is any sexier than that.
I agree. I think authenticity is the best thing. And confidence is really true when you are being authentic. And I don't think you should ever not be yourself. I mean, you're not going to be for everyone,
yep.
period. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you will be for who you're supposed to be for. And the only way to truly know that that is if you are authentic on your dates.
Exactly. So you got to dress up how you feel best, but also recognize when you got to play the game. I've been in these streets a long time, and I know sometimes you got to pretty yourself up more than you got to ugly yourself down or ugly yourself up, whatever it is.
Because
I don't know
what direction we're going.
I don't know either, man. Who are we? All right, I wanted to get your guys' take on this. We got a couple of minutes before we need to take off for the next break. So I'm seeing this more and more often now, this new Gen Z trend of going braless. Have you guys seen this online?
I'm envious. more power to you. I feel that should be the case. There are some of us that's not an option.
So this is the initial TikTok that started to go viral, and now it's got over 600 million tags on it.
Wow.
As Gen Z women are like, you know what? I am going to give up the bra.
Here's how to survive going braless in public for the first time. Tip number one, wear something tight. Trust me on this one. If your nipples are going to show, they're going to show. Might as well feel so important. There will be less jiggle. There will be less bounce. You're welcome. Tip number two, wear something dark. It's more inconspicuous. Tip number three, don't look at people walking by. What? You want to know whether they're looking at you? Doesn't matter.
All right, so why now? A lot of women are saying they're doing it to prove a point that women's breasts all look different. They should all be celebrated and they shouldn't be hidden. That seems to be the reason why women are doing it.
Honey, I've been doing this for the past 20 years of my life. Now, I give them, they have the ovaries to do it in public. I couldn't do that, although it almost happened today. I almost walked out the house with that one on. It's freeing. Nobody likes this armor. Mm-hmm. It constricts you. It's uncomfortable. And I guarantee you, half of women, as soon as they get home, they rip that sucker off. We hate them.
A psychologist said that a bunch of women are feeling super liberated by this, and young women want to reclaim, quote unquote, their agency, which is the reason why they're doing that.
Now, if you are a person who doesn't sweat obsessively, then yeah, sure, more power to you. In this summer heat, I cannot go without a bra because the boob sweat is insane, and I will have stain marks all over my shirt.
I think women should do whatever makes them feel beautiful and comfortable, but I gotta say, the only women who are for this that I know are the ones with the itty bitty ones and that look really cute, because some of us wouldn't be in that camp.
The Burt Show.
Okay, Burt Show, you have four pills laid out in front of you, okay? You can only pick one to ingest. The first one is a red pill. And if you ingest the red pill, you will be rich. Okay?
Okay.
That is pill number one.
Like stupid wealthy?
Stupid wealthy.
Okay.
Like planes, private planes, you got islands, rich, richy rich.
Billionaire status.
Wealthy.
Okay.
Okay? Generational.
Okay.
So Jimmy will never have to work a day in his life, your son.
Okay.
Second pill is a blue one. You can bring somebody back from the dead.
Ooh, wow.
Any questions about that one?
No.
Okay.
Will they be in zombie form or human form? No,
they are in human form. You could play dodgeball with them.
Okay. And if you hit him, a body part's not going to fall off?
They're not.
Okay.
Totally safe.
I'm bringing back Michael Jackson because he sings as a human and a zombie.
Whoa.
Oh, that was deep.
The third pill is the yellow pill. And the yellow pill makes sure that you never feel any pain. Physical, emotional, I guess, whatever. Never feel pain.
Okay.
Okay? And the fourth pill is the black pill. You never catch a disease.
Mm-mm.
Okay? Which one of these four are you taking, Bircho? Which pill?
Blue.
You are bringing back somebody from the dead.
Oh, yeah, I'm bringing my dad back.
Bringing your dad back.
I mean, easy peasy.
Watch you bring your dad back, and then you get hit by a bus.
But none of your pills are going to help me.
Sorry, you didn't take the, never catch a disease, so.
Well, what kind of disease is getting hit by a bus disease?
It's called busophobia. You're going to bring him back, he's going to sit down, and you're going to get hit by a bus, and your dad's here lonely.
It's the Regina Georgification of Kristen Kling shirt.
Obviously.
All right, Cassie, which pill are you taking?
Red. I'm rich.
Rich.
Give me the money. Yeah.
Rich.
You know what? The disease-free would be nice, but at the same time, if you have a lot of money, you can pay for the best treatments. Mm. Pain, whatever. I'll be rich. So I'll just roll in my money and feel better about things.
Never thought I would hear Cassie say, I'm going to take the red pill.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to take the red pill. Make me rich.
Okay. Mo?
I see I'm torn. And this is, but this is going to sound dark, but if I'm being honest.
You can't do a combo of both.
No, okay. I can't split them.
No, you can't.
I would take red because at first I thought blue, but then I figured, like, if I bring my grandma back, she's going to still be old.
Wow. So, how much
what if she die again next week?
How much?
And I'm still broke. What did I really accomplish?
That's wisdom right there. That is a very good point.
You and I have different definitions of wisdom.
Give me a red pill, man. I'm sorry, Grandma.
I didn't even think of that. Abby, which one are you taking?
This was a hard decision because I was like, it would be nice to never feel pain, but then I remember I numb my emotions anyway. So I'm going rich. I'm going red pill.
Really?
I want to be like billionaire ruining the environment, stupid rich. I would love that. I want to have multiple planes. I want ozone layers to be destroyed because of me. I want that much money.
Just leave this huge carbon footprint and you don't care because you're so rich.
Yep, exactly. I love how even though I went first and chose the blue pill to bring my dad back, you guys are all like, give me the money.
I wasn't. I was going with the black pill. I was never catching a disease.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Because I figure if you're not going to catch a disease, you could live longer and help, not only a long life, but a long, healthy life.
That costs money. Like a long, healthy life. That's why we went rich.
Well, you can still get hit by a bus, too.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
And clearly, all of you guys want to be rich, so I will be asking you guys for money. Because we're all friends.
And you can pay for your treatment.
I couldn't believe all the, like, most people said, be rich.
Really?
More than any other, yeah.
That's the power of money.
It's the power of money. All right, ditch your date. Let's do this one here really, really quickly because she's been dating a guy and just found out he was dating somebody else when they first started their relationship. And he's since broke things off with the other woman, but she's wondering if she should ditch or date him. And Abby here has the email.
I started dating this guy a few weeks ago. From our initial conversations, I was under the impression he was single. He even subtly implied it. Fast forward, and we've had multiple dates. That said, I recently found out that he was still with his girlfriend during our first three dates. However, by the time I had found out, they had broken up. When I confronted him, he said it wasn't cheating since he was planning on breaking up with her, but hadn't found the right moment. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm torn. On one hand, I think it's deceitful. Had I known he was in a relationship, I wouldn't have gone out with him. On the other hand, I wonder if this is a gray area. I mean, if he genuinely planned on breaking up and was mentally out of that relationship, does that justify his actions? So is he technically a cheater? Should I back out before I'm in too deep? Or should I maybe give him the benefit of the doubt?
Does she say anywhere in here how long they've been going out now?
Started dating a few weeks.
Few weeks.
And then she found out that he was still with his girlfriend for the first three dates. So since then, they have broken up, but they're only a few weeks in.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Abby, what would you do here?
So here's my thing. Every guy I've ever dated, if they've broken up with me, they always had a backup plan. And I've found that to be pretty true with a lot of the other guys that my friends have been dating. It almost feels like they need a safety net for them to feel confident in leaving a relationship that, sure, they probably know they want to get out of. But, I mean, I think regardless of whether or not this is cheating or not, I still think it's pretty sketch behavior.
So do you continue to see this guy, even though you've been having a great time with him, knowing he's got this in his very recent past?
How hot is he?
Very.
He's super hot.
Yeah, I'll stick with him.
Okay. The height factor does matter, but I it would be tough for me because I would feel like if you would do this to someone else, you would do it to me. And I also feel like when people have tough times breaking up with someone, I don't know if I want to date you during that era. Because you could go back at any point, and then it'd be a back and forth game, and I don't want to play that game, so I would probably back out.
Cakes.
I don't know why. I'm all right with this.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just not registering as a huge deal. I just, after hearing it and digesting it, I'm like, meh, it's not that big a deal. Because, I mean, if you're already out of the relationship, I know how hard it is for people to break off. And I look at it differently, like, oh, he doesn't want to hurt somebody, and he's got a heart.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Okay.
That might be a wee bit.
I'm really on the train of giving people the benefit of the doubt today.
I mean, because they've only been going out a couple of weeks, I think it would bother me a lot more. If it was years now in advance and she found out in the beginning, I would feel differently about it. But I think because it's still so fresh, I'd bail.
You bail?
I'd bail on the whole thing.
Oh, I'm all right. Well, we're the only ones still dating.
The Burt Show.
All right, Rome.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
We have got to get an update here, man. Are you kidding me? How did we let this go so far? All right. Recap exactly what got us here with the ex-girlfriend and how dangerous this date could have been with the ex.
Yeah, so I've shared with you guys that I was in a long-distance relationship for 3 years, and we broke off things just because I no longer wanted to do the long-distance part of it. And, you know, I gave her an ultimatum. I talked about it on the show as well. It was during Coachella, and the whole reason behind it was me asking this person to move out here because I thought she was the one. I thought I was going to marry her. I thought I was going to have my kids with her. Like, I had this whole future plan, basically, in my mind with this woman. And so I asked her to move here. She was like, no, I don't want to. And I was like, all right, that's fine. That's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, you're so easy breezy, bro.
Dude, yeah, like, yeah. I was over it in like 24 hours.
I didn't cry for like 6 months or whatever, you know? Like, I was fine. I didn't cry in Christmas house or anything like that.
I'm pretty sure I was cool. In my house, on my couch with my dogs.
You was down bad.
No, I was cool, calm, and collected. I knew who I was. I was fine. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. I was down in the dumps for a long time. And yeah, it took a while. Just because I really thought this was my future, you know, and sure. it was gone out of nowhere. And it was, part of it was my own doing as well. And so she didn't want to move here. And then out of nowhere, I get a message that she applied for a job that the headquarters just so happened to be in the same city that I'm in.
And how many months now has gone by that you guys broke up, then had your friendship, and then just decided to kind of keep it clean?
I would say since Coachella. Coachella was in April, so since April was the last time that we had a full kind of... And I remember I shared with you guys when we were at Coachella, it was... Our final conversation almost felt like might be the end. Mm-hmm. Like, this might be it. And so we embraced it and we enjoyed it. And that was just kind of like a final... Well, at least what I thought in the moment was going to be like a final conversation. And it was just, we go our separate ways.
That was the period on the relationship.
Yeah. And it was just like, that's it. And so then months later, I get this message that like, hey, I'm going to be in town for 24 hours. You want to meet up? And I was just like, oh, okay. I don't know what to do.
And not just you're going to be in, like, she's going to be in town for 24 hours, but I'm going to be in town for 24 hours because I'm applying for a job that will potentially put me in the same city as you. And that was the whole reason why we broke up, is because it was long distance.
Right.
And you were maintaining before even going out with her, and we don't know if you guys met up or not, that you just don't have any feelings for her anymore. That's over. That's in your past. Mm-hmm. Didn't feel it. Weren't feeling any risk involved because you weren't into it anymore.
That's right. Okay. I felt like I was pretty sure of where I was in that moment, mm-hmm. if you will.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's where we left off. So did you guys end up linking up?
We did.
Okay.
We did.
All right. How were you feeling about it right before the date? Were you nervous? Was it like, I'm just going to see a friend?
I was nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was nervous just because I think, your words started playing in my head as to whether or not, like, I was going to get all these feelings. And, you know, like, it was just like, what you said, it was like, dude, there wasn't anything major that went wrong or anything bad doing. It was just kind of like we split up because it wasn't the right time. Mm-hmm. We weren't in the right place. So I got nervous about that. And again, I wasn't sure where her head was in and her feelings are at. And so I kind of went in with the idea of, you know what? Let's not put pressure into this. I'm just meeting up with a person.
No expectations.
Nothing.
Okay, one weird question. Did you manscape before the date?
No.
Okay. That says a lot.
Why not?
Okay.
Because it was already done.
Okay.
Oh, that's different. Okay, that's different.
All right. Yeah, well, you asked before the date. Okay. Okay. Exactly. Right. Yeah, stay ready, baby. Let's right. do it.
So let's just say you went on a date fresh for a reason. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so...
Thanks for that visual, by the way.
Listen, we met up and it was, at first it was a little bit awkward. I would say it was just a little bit of trying to like read each other and understand where we were at.
Hold on, you were rushing way too fast through this. So where did you meet? Were you there first when you see her initially? Did your heart have that little flutter or was it... Were you nervous? What?
Do you hug?
No, so we met up at the restaurant that we were going to, and she happened to get there before I got there. So she was waiting outside, and yes, I would say that I got a little bit nervous when I saw her.
Mm-hmm.
We did hug, but it wasn't like a sexual hug, if you will.
It wasn't sensual. It's a friendly hug.
Yeah, it was just kind of like
European kiss on both cheeks type thing. Hello, darling.
Yeah, kind of similar to that, you know, a little close to that. So yes, and then it was just, I was in the moment, I guess. I was nervous about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say.
So you eat, you drink. I mean, how's the conversation? Are you finding yourself
of course, because I was feeling nervous, you have to get that liquid courage in, right? Mm-hmm. And so then I had like a drink and then another drink. And another drink. I had three.
Okay.
And I felt cool. I felt calm.
She was drinking with you?
Yes.
Okay.
And it went well. It just went like the conversation was flowing. It was just, it felt like I was asking her how her life was going because we really haven't talked in like the last 2 months. And I was telling her what I was doing. I did make this one stupid mistake. I would say it was very dumb, but I asked her if she still listened to the show.
Okay.
Which... She said no, and I believe it. But now I feel like she might go back because I asked that question.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Planted that seed.
Yeah.
So on the date, it was strictly like you felt like this was a platonic date. While you're having your drink, she's having her drinks. There was never any sexual tension. That is in the past for both of you guys.
Oh, no, there was. I'm not going to say that. Yeah, there was.
I mean, how could you be in a room with Romeo and not have sexual tension?
just the name alone, you know? Just yes, there was. But for me personally, I know like I don't want to get myself involved in that again because I know that there's, like you said, there's the possibility that she might get placed here. There's also the possibility that she may not. So why am I going to get my hopes up if she's not going to be here forever?
But that's a different conversation than we had last time. So if she does get the job here, what does that mean for the two of you?
Ooh, we got to choose your own adventure right now.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? I don't know. We're not thinking about that.
Lies.
Yes,
you are. That's,
my therapist said that tomorrow, you don't worry about tomorrow till you wake up tomorrow. So, we worry about it when we wake up tomorrow.
That makes you a robot, man.
Wake up in a bed next to her.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Britney Spears' husband is reportedly filing for divorce from her. So multiple sources have confirmed to People magazine that after 14 months of marriage, the relationship is done. So these rumors started circulating back in March that they were having some marital struggles, but actually her husband's rep came out and was like, no, they're fine. They're just, you know, they're doing good.
I think time passes differently when you're married to somebody like Kanye or Britney or somebody. I don't think 1 year equals 8 years.
8 years. Because 14 months doesn't seem like that long of a time. I was like, shoot, it's been 14 months only?
In Hollywood world, that's 10 years.
And they've been together since 2016 when they met. Mm-hmm.
So, but TMZ's reporting, and they're saying that sources with direct knowledge to their relationship said that about a week ago, Sam confronted Britney over rumors that she stepped out on him. We don't know if that rumor is true, but
TMZ was told that Sam believed it, and the two of them had a huge fight.
Do you think that she had to get that affair approved by her dad?
She's not under the conservatorship.
Oh, is that gone now?
So Dumois, which is this gossip site where people submit anonymous tips. They can DM them or they can comment or whatever. Somebody reported to Dumois that they said that's total BS. They said that nobody cheated and that this is actually all about reallocating assets to prepare for Britney's lifelong care. Keeping Sam on the payroll doesn't make sense given that Britney no longer can stand him because he's largely stopped pretending to give two S's about her, which I find very interesting considering they were fighting so hard to get married. They finally get married a little over a year ago. Now that he's got the ring, makes a lot of sense that maybe he would take a step back and be like, yeah, I'm going to stop pretending now.
Cassie, you got to have strong opinions about this because you're a big Sam fan.
Oh, huge Sam fan. You know, I know him so well, so I am definitely in a place and qualified to judge him as a person. You know, I'm so torn because on one hand, I can't imagine for Sam it must be difficult watching the evolution of Britney. And even if you, Us Weekly did a great timeline of photos and you can watch... I hate to say unravel, but you can watch Britney change throughout the photos and kind of become somebody else. And the relationship dynamics change. Now, they chose these photos. Of course, they were handpicked. But it looks from going from very lovey-dovey and put together to a little unhinged. And I imagine if Britney is truly struggling with mental health issues and maybe Sam is unable to help her get the help she needs, that can be very draining. In the same vein, I have heard that even though they signed an airtight prenup, Sam wants to contest it and try and get more money. So there are just rumors flying right now. I just hope that Britney is happy. And that's all I want for her is to be happy. But I hope that she has some stable force of like Kate Hudson, her manager, or somebody who's going to be there for her throughout the divorce. Because they've been together 7 years. That's a long time.
She looked happy on that poll she posted on Instagram.
Did she?
Truth.
Yep. She just got a stripper poll.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, and she was showcasing
pretty
some of her
moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all the information and proof I need to know that they're breaking up.
Yeah.
That is a total I'm breaking up with somebody proof.
I feel bad for her. I think her life is like, it's kind of a tragedy.
It is.
And if you look at her Insta now, she's posting more and more throwback pics of like what Britney in her peak era and her heyday. And it's so hard like to not read into things, but it kind of seems like she's almost like, this is how I was. But then it's juxtaposed with her stripping on the pole or some weird videos that she's posting. And I'm like, everybody should feel free to be themselves however you want. It's just not what we've seen from her. Even her deep, like big fans who've seen behind the scenes stuff haven't quite seen her act like this. And so it's very jarring. And so it's hard to sit here and be like, yeah, good Britney, dump Sam. A lot of fans were never a fan of Sam at all. But then at the same time, you got to look at what he was dealing with. And Britney's been going through a lot lately. She's only been out of her conservatorship, not even 2 full years. She's clearly grappling with trying to take back her freedom and be an independent person and figure it all out. So I feel for both of them.
Let me have strong opinions about something I know nothing about. It must be very difficult starting out your life as a huge celebrity that young, because the rules don't the rules for the rest of us don't necessarily apply emotionally. You've got to be really sort of always have your head on a swivel. Who can I trust? Who can I not trust? The relationship that she's had with her parents. When you start that career so early, it just doesn't sound like a healthy foundation to me.
They often say that celebs stay the age mentally that they are or emotionally when they become famous. So if you became famous at 16 or 17, that's kind of your emotional level. That's not always true. Obviously, you see some evolution, but sometimes when I look at Britney, it's very childlike. The stuff she posts, how she acts. I mean, I remember reading a story. Paris Hilton had to teach her how to use Google because she didn't know how to use it. So she's just been very sheltered. They live in a different world, honestly.
Yeah, well, she's celebrating this apparent divorce by apparently buying a horse because that is her most recent Instagram post. She said, I'm looking at buying a horse. Should be a good time.
You need something else to ride.
Keke Palmer might finally get some sweet revenge on her ex-boyfriend with a music video. I'll tell you all about it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Why? Why did he have to say it? Everything was going just great. We've talked about this before. When you are married, you're in a couple or whatever, it is so hard to vibe with other couples. you know, like either the woman doesn't like the other woman in the couple or the dude doesn't like a one. It's just hard to get all four on the same page, right?
So when you get four people on the same page and they all like each other, it's like striking gold.
It really is, right? So Kaylee was telling us before we took off that her husband messed everything up, and we were really curious on what has happened since. Hey, Kaylee.
Hi, guys.
Hey, you want to sort of just recap for us what happened with your husband, and he just should have shut up?
Yeah, so my husband and I, we have this couple friend that we've been friends with for over a year, and we've become close. We all four of us get along great. And one night, you know, after hanging out, he was really drunk and super honest, and he was telling me how attractive she is and how, you know, she's out of his league. And I, you know, honestly, I got hurt by these comments. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to hang out with them again. So you guys had given me advice telling me I should talk to him about it. So I did. And he flat out didn't even deny it. He said, yeah, she is attractive. So what? And kind of downplayed my feelings entirely. And so I still felt uncomfortable going to hang out with them. And he still went to go hang out with them without me.
Okay, so it's one thing to think somebody is attractive. It's another thing to be attracted to somebody. Like, you can appreciate somebody's looks. And going to hang, like...
I guess it's the way it was expressed to her also. Did he say, like, oh, she's really hot?
Oh, yes.
So it's, like, disrespectful.
So unnecessary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't even deny it, didn't apologize for it, just completely disregarded my feelings.
And then when you said you didn't want to hang out, instead of bailing on the night, he just left you home alone and went and hung out with the two of them on his own.
Yeah, and he had the best time ever, and he told them I wasn't feeling well.
Oh, wow.
Geez. But I don't even know how to proceed after this, because am I going to keep avoiding these hangouts, or what do I do? Hey, be like, hey, you know, I find the husband really attractive.
I don't know. So I think Kristen raises a really good point. There is an acknowledgement of somebody is attractive rather than being attracted to. He's not saying he's attracted to her. He just thinks that she's an attractive woman, right?
But isn't it the same to say someone she's hot means he's attracted to her?
No.
I don't think so.
Not really.
I think those are two different things. Like, do I think he was stupid? Yes. Like, you don't need to gush to your wife about how hot somebody is. Especially, like, I think what's key here is, like, Kaylee, how regularly does he tell you you're hot and pay you compliments?
That might be it, right?
Not often.
Okay, yeah. So that, I think that there lies the issue. I would be like, you're sitting here and gushing over our friend's wife, and I can't remember the last time you told me I was hot.
Oh, isn't that really probably what it's all about?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think that's where it's stemming from. So, I mean, I don't blame you for being hurt. I don't think your husband has, like, you know, infidelity plans, or he's trying to be, like, I don't think he's going to try to make a move on her. I just think it was really stupid for him to express what he did, how he did, and that it's there's a deeper conversation that needs to be had between the two of you.
Yeah, I just wish he had, I don't know, apologized.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, considered my feelings and all of it, but he just kind of downplayed the whole thing.
Apologizing means you admit you did something wrong, and he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
No.
Right.
That's the part that I almost feel like what he did after is worse.
Yeah.
And knowing that you obviously didn't go for the reasons you didn't. And then and instead of him acknowledging that, he just went anyway and then made up a lie about why you didn't go. That part, to me, is even more disrespectful than finding her attractive.
How long have you guys been married?
10 years.
Oh, yeah. Your guys' relationship is bigger than this.
Mm-hmm.
I would think at 10 years, you guys can sit down and you could talk about this one, right?
Yeah, I would have.
Don't focus on what he said and did. Focus on how it made you feel. I think that's the key in having that conversation with him and communicating with him, is being like, listen, I know you, and I wouldn't even say, listen, I know you don't think you did anything wrong. Be like, when you said this, it made me feel like this. And hopefully he can at least apologize for that. Like, I don't think that was ever his intent to make you feel less than. or to make you feel bad about yourself or to make you feel inferior. But unfortunately, sometimes words have repercussions, and that was the consequences of his words.
Can you guys just talk to him instead?
Texting tutor time, huh?
Yeah, listen, I had caffeine today, so I feel like I'm on point right now.
Yeah, it's like your limitless pill, man. Whatever Bart put in that thing, keep doing it. Thanks. All right, Kaylee, thanks a lot for sharing with us. Appreciate
you. Thank you,
guys. It's a Bert Show.
Hey, the Bert Show.
Somebody here besides me needs to read what the Braves did over the weekend, because the last time I got behind the Braves when it was so clear that they were working their way to the playoffs at a record pace, and I said, what is the matter with Atlanta? How come there doesn't seem to be a whole bunch of excitement here? The Braves are going to the playoffs. They have the best record. This was years and years and years ago.
Uh-huh.
And the day I did that, uh-huh, statistically, they had the biggest collapse in Major League Baseball history.
Wow.
So,
and everybody blamed Bert because he talked about them.
Right. So to the people and the fans of Atlanta and the yes. Braves, I don't talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are going to have to talk about this weekend, okay, or this last couple of days, I should say, and how far up they are in the National League East. I'm staying away from it.
Thank you, because I actually, when I was putting this on the schedule, because I thought it was important to mention, I was like, I hope Bert let somebody else talk about it. All right, so the Braves just swept the Yankees. Sorry, Mo. And that means they are currently still number one in the NL East, 12 and a half games up.
That's a lot of games.
12 and a half games up. Their offense is impeccable. They are crushing it right now. You just sit there, nod your head.
I'm not saying a word.
Do not say. And everybody that was at Tuesday night's Braves game versus the Yankees got a huge surprise, because Quavo surprised everybody, performed on top of the Braves dugout, performed his unreleased song, Who Whit Me, because his new album comes out this Friday. And so, yeah, he just surprised everybody, and the Braves actually sat there and watched Quavo perform on top of the dugout. Yeah,
the rest of the guys in that lineup are so good, they could have had Quavo play for the night. and they still would have won. They're that good right now.
But I'm not backing them.
No.
I'm not backing them.
I'm so annoyed about hearing this, because my parents came into town, and my dad is a huge baseball fan. I was so excited to bring him to the Battery and show him around, and we got these amazing seats, and it just, that would have been the cherry on top, mm-hmm, to have like a sick performance from an amazing performer and also get to see the Braves win. Mm-hmm. I went on Monday, not Tuesday.
Oh, yes, my day.
Rude.
Didn't this sort of happen to you with Taylor Swift too? Like something really cool happened the night after or before you saw?
Yes, I have the worst luck. So, I'm so upset by this. So not only did I go to none of the Atlanta shows where she played all of my favorite surprise songs, I went to her shows in Nashville. She had three of them. And the two shows that she performed that I was not there at were like historic shows. The night before I went, she announced Speak Now Taylor's version, which is like a historic event that literally would have sent me into orbit.
Historic event.
And then the next night, like,
it's right there with the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
You betcha. And then the next night, it was her first rain show, which I was kind of glad I wasn't there for, but it was still kind of epic. So yeah, I have really bad luck when it comes to this stuff.
All right, so here's what we're learning. Find out when Abby is going to a show. And if it's a 2 or 3 night show, just either pick the night before, the night after, because that's when the cool stuff's going to happen.
Yep. I'll make the announcement on my Instagram story.
All right. Beyonce was in town for a couple of huge nights. Huge nights. Mo and I did the math on this, because the average ticket price to see Beyonce, they were saying, was $900. They were getting 70,000 people in that stadium for 3 nights. Mo and I did the math on it. That's $163 million a night.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot. Now, of course, a lot of that is ticket scalping. Mm-hmm. So she's not getting, she's not getting the base price for those tickets. But that's $163 million for one night of shows.
And think about all the money she brought to Atlanta with 70,000 people packing out Mercedes-Benz Stadium for 3 nights in a row.
Katie, our producer, was there.
And I loved every minute of it. Atlanta, we did what needed to be done. We were her favorite city, and I have video evidence because she said it.
And why was Atlanta her favorite?
Because she did 3 nights, and I went on the very last night because I knew Saturday was meh and the first night was going to be great. But the first night, when everyone was supposed to go on mute for the mute challenge, they did it.
Explain the mute challenge.
So there's
Bert.
A part of her song. She says, look around in the room, everybody on mute. just me and my crew. Big energy, right? But when she says mute, she says, you know, she gives the hand signal of everyone should be on mute. And the whole stadium is in silence.
For how long?
Seconds. She'll say everybody on mute and it'll be like 5 seconds. And then she comes back with the song and she continues the song. And so it's been a thing
that she gets the entire arena to be quiet for that long.
70,000 people shut their trap when Beyonce yells mute.
Yeah, it's been a thing because in the previous shows, some of the audience members cheer or they go on with the songs and they're like, no, when she says mute, we mute. You know, so we had mute
there,
practice.
There was one video that went viral of the girl like literally grabbing a stranger's mouth because she was not being quiet during the mute. No, mute.
And I was that one when I got in the seats. I was like, all right, mute. Mute. We all know what we're doing when she says it. What's our cue? Okay, cool. So Atlanta already won the crown with that because she said it. She's like, you guys won after she continued the song. And then on the night that I went on Monday's show, she basically said that we were like the loudest audience. We had the most energy. And it was just so great. And I got the special treat. I'm so sorry that you have to go through what you went through with Taylor Swift because I got the special songs in Atlanta. All the special songs that Beyonce has not performed on any other tour, she did it on Monday's show. Like all the songs people wanted her to perform, she did it, and she did a 3-hour show. It was just amazing. I injured myself, but it's okay.
What'd you do?
I messed up my other knee. So
I only had one good knee going into the concert.
I already messed up one knee, and then the right knee, I had a little bit too much energy, and I busted my knee like jumping up and down, but I didn't let that stop me. Not at all.
So you don't think she's going to every city and going, hey, you guys, hey, no. Chicago, you are the best.
No, because
Dallas, you're the best. Atlanta, you're the best.
No, because on social media, there's a war. Like, you know, people from different cities are posting the comments she says about those cities.
Oh, the Beehive, yeah.
Yeah, the Beehive.
Mm-mm. Okay.
It's a competition. And after the Atlanta shows, everyone who went to a show before were like, you know what? That's the last time Beyonce will treat me like that because she gave us extra songs. She gave us extra energy. And other cities are upset that she did everything for Atlanta that she hasn't done for her other cities.
How much did you pay for your ticket?
$280.
That's not bad. Mm-mm. Right? I mean, wow, especially when we're hearing like the average is $900, $280.
That's because I got the pre-sale link. And when I got that invite that says, hey, get your tickets now, I got it for base price. I got it for the regular resale price. I didn't get a resale ticket.
I mean, she was watching it from Suwannee, but she paid
$280. You were up there,
were you way up there?
Whoa, no, you was up there.
They give you oxygen mask.
When Beyonce get on that real big platform, she was standing right next to Katie.
You know what? Y'all will not do this to me. I was not in the 300 section, okay? I was in the middle. I was in section 221. Okay? I saw Beyonce, damn it.
I wasn't going to say nothing about it. It's Kristen Fall.
Is Katie coming? Where is she? Is she just in Atlanta?
Are you sure that was Beyonce on stage? Because you couldn't see her from where you were at.
I'm positive.
For $280, man.
Am I wrong for that?
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Was it worth every penny, though?
It was. I did the best I could.
It's a Bird Show.
Here, Bird Show.